So we've been looking at the Thessalonian church. And we've been learning so much. These books are only about three pages each. First Thessalonians is about three pages. The second Thessalonians is about three pages. And I even said, you know, as we got through First Thessalonians, Paul covered all the territory. What in the world can he talk about in Second Thessalonians? And boy, were we ever surprised, because he started talking about the man of lawlessness and lies and deceit. And he started, it is so remnant of the book of Revelation that it is so close. It's tied together. He talks about the second coming of our Lord and the glorious return of Jesus, how evil will be defeated once and for all. So what else can, we only have about one more page. So how will Paul conclude with them? If you were going to talk to the church and you only had one more thing to say, you know, Jesus talks to his final talk to the church is John 17, 18, 19, and I think even 14 and 15. He spends five chapters in John pouring into the disciples at the last time, right after the Last Supper, right before he is crucified. He knows that he has to get it all out. He has to pour into them because he won't be with them anymore. So that's what's going on now with Paul in this church of Thessalonians. What else can he say? He's been preparing them about how to live. He's been preparing them about the last days. He's been preparing them about the good and evil and the fight that will come. He ends with a bang. He ends with a truth. He tells them that God loves them. And you know, we hear that all the time, right? God loves you. God loves me. But today I want to talk about that God loves me, even me. Because the only one that really knows me is me, right? And the only one that knows what God's really loving here is me, right? And I'm the only one that can make that statement. That God loves me. Even me. And that's Paul's message for the church, that you are greatly loved. And I'm going to tell you, you guys, today, you are greatly loved. And that's not just a nice thing to say. I want us to take that in. I want us to really feel that right now, that you are greatly loved. Even me, no matter what has happened in your life, no matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, no matter what you accomplish, no matter what you fail to accomplish, God loves you. He loves you so much that he wants to spend eternity with you. That's what Paul's been talking about to them. He loves you so much that he wants to forgive everything you've ever done or will do. He loves you so much, it is unconditional. He wants us to repent. He wants us to change our behavior, but I think it's more for us than it is for him, don't you think? Because he knows that we're on a dead-end course, and we're just going to cause ourselves more hassle. So let's get right into it. Starting with verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians. But we ought, there he goes again, saying what he ought to do. He's been saying that a lot to them. This is what we ought to do. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Boy, that really rings of the song we just sang about, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. He's saying that God has already given you all the truth, all the belief, and now you are embedded with it. But he also says something out of this entire thing. He says that you are loved by the Lord. But we ought to always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. Today I want you to know that you are loved by the Lord. You are loved by Jesus, unconditionally. You are loved by God no matter what. You are loved by the Holy Spirit who's inside us and moving inside of us. We have a love that we can't even fathom. A sacrificial love. A complete love. A love that doesn't look at behavior. It doesn't look at whether or not you made the grade. It doesn't look at your accomplishments. It doesn't look at any of that. A love that looks at you as your core being. A love that looks at your very soul. Of your uniqueness. Because we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. Because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. What is the truth? Today we struggle with the truth, don't we? Today we even struggle with whether or not there is a truth. The newest thing is you got your truth, I got my truth, but is that really true? Because that's not really a true statement either. That is a deception. There is one truth, and he has a name.
Jesus.
Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way and the truth and the only way back to the Father God. Paul says he called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. You know, I had a session with a bunch of pastors where we were doing disciple making, and we got to this question of what is the gospel? And we spent the entire hour and a half discussing what is the gospel. Now, you would think a bunch of pastors would have this pretty well down pat, right? Like, we should have had that discussion in about 10 minutes flat, maybe 5. Maybe it should have been just a one-liner. But the gospel is the entire book. It's the entire Bible. It starts in Genesis and it goes all the way through to the book of Revelation, because all of it is talking about one thing and one thing only. The sanctifying work, like Paul just talked about, the sanctifying work of Jesus on us. I think there's one way, and one my mentor, the person that married Mary and I, the person that really got me started was Pastor Arlene. I love Pastor Arlene. And Pastor Arlene was so remarkable. I've never seen anybody like her, and I never will again. Again, I told you before, she could make grown men cry. Now, I came out of the Catholic Church, and I love the Catholic Church. I love the reverence, don't get me wrong, but I never saw anything like this. I never saw when you go into the service and grown men are weeping from the message. But she had a favorite verse. Her favorite verse was that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So there was a point where Pastor Arlene was leaving, and I wanted to get her a goodbye gift. And so I searched for that verse. I looked at plaques, and I looked at little knickknacks. I looked at everything. I even thought about maybe I'll just fashion something up myself, because I knew that that verse was so close to her heart, and rightfully so, because that is the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. I finally found this glass music box. It was actually not even a music box. It was just a jewelry box. And etched on the top was, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And I gave that to her. I'm hoping to this day that she still has it. But it was my heart that I was giving to her, because I knew that that verse, I've talked to other pastors, I've talked to other people who have a special verse that really fits their life, and that would fit her life. So if you want to know what the gospel is, we can have a long discussion. My definition, as many of you have heard over and over, is that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And Lord meaning He's Lord of my life, He's King, He's in charge. And Savior meaning without Him, I'm in deep trouble. But for today, it's for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, so that none may perish and all may have eternal life. And for me, there's two words in there. I always talk about like what words are popping. But what's really popping in that one is God so loved the world. Think about it. To love somebody enough to sacrifice your own child. To love somebody else, as in Jesus' case, to sacrifice yourself. To love someone so much, that sacrificial praise we talked about, that sacrificial love, so much that you give all of you, including your physical being, or your comfort, or even pain and suffering for another. I call that a life well loved. Loving well. That's been the conviction on my heart on this whole week. Have I loved well? I know I've been loved very well by God. I know that God loves me so much that He gave me His Son. But then I have to look at, if you are my child, you are to love others as you are being loved, right? So have we loved well? We've been loved well, but are we loving well? We'll get back to that. Paul continues. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. The teachings. Why are the teachings that Paul, like I said, in the first letter, he's given us so many of the teachings. Jesus, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, gives us so much information, so many things to do, so many ways to do it, so many ways to think, so many ways to praise. What are the teachings? The teachings, I think Jesus summed it up. He said, I'm going to sum it up all for you. You love your neighbor as yourself. And you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those are the teachings. And although they're easy to say, they're really difficult to do, aren't they? Especially the second half. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is hard enough. But to love your neighbor as yourself, because your neighbor, let's be honest, can sometimes be a little difficult. And we have neighbors who don't want our love, right? We have people who reject us. But Jesus had all that, didn't He? He had them. The greatest sign of love I've ever seen is that they are pounding nails in His hands and His feet. They are spitting on Him. They are ridiculing Him. They are talking about Him. They're doing everything you can imagine. And He says, what does He say? I know what I would say. I need a little work on that. I need to be a little more well-loved on that one. But He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And He wants them to be forgiven? Seriously? Well-loved. Well-played, I guess you would say, right? Paul says, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Now this isn't just any kind of encouragement. This is eternal encouragement. And this isn't just any kind of hope. This is eternal hope. And for that matter, this isn't just any kind of love. This is eternal love. And what does that mean? It means never ending. You know, sometimes our love is a little conditional, isn't it? If we're going to get honest. if we're going to get real, sometimes it'll be conditional up to a point. Like, you can do so much, and then, you know, I'm going to start thinking about this thing, right? I'm going to start thinking about this relationship. I'm going to start thinking about whether or not I still want to be associated with you. But God never, never, never does that. That's what it means about agape love, unconditional love. That no matter, Jesus says, you know, hey, you can deny me, but I will never deny you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will always be there. Boy, that is the kind of love that that is a life well loved. Paul continues, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So he's continuing on. He says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. We talked about this Thursday night, the heart. The heart is the core of the matter. Like, we can think about all kinds of stuff. We can talk a good talk. We can even walk a good walk. But it is the heart of how you really feel, of what you're really motivated for, about your whole being into it, that shows love. It is your heart that is well, it shows a life that is well loved. That's a really convicting statement about having a life well loved. And I'm going to tell you, the people here, wow, I look at you guys. I look at some of the stories we've shared. I looked at some of the trauma you guys have gone through. I looked at some of the ways you've been there for other people. And I'm going to tell you, I can say without a doubt, you have a life well loved. You have loved well. You have loved well your friends. You have loved well your siblings. You have, as we pray for John, Mike's brother. You have loved well as we pray for Nathaniel. You have loved well. I look at Connie and Ronnie. You have loved well with Ronnie for years and years, and you're still asking for prayer for every doctor's appointment. You have loved well. Jesus loves us well. Paul goes on. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, just as it was with you. We need to share with other people that there is an eternal hope. We need to share with other people this eternal encouragement. We need to share with other people this eternal love, because people are drowning out there. People are without hope out there. The stories are getting more and more tragic out there. And God is being put more and more to the side out there. Out there is not very far away, by the way. Out there is in the workplace. Out there is in the neighborhood. Out there is in the nation. Out there is in the world. Out there is everywhere except for in the church. And the church needs to get out there. And the way we do that, and you know, I just had a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, that asked me, he just happened to ask me, he said, you know, I missed you at the men's breakfast, which I didn't make it to, which I regret not doing that. But he asked me, you know, you talked when we did this disciple making, you talked about some kind of equation. And I was trying to remember the equation. And so I reminded him of the equation. He said, oh yeah, that's the one. And the equation is the one that I've shared with you before, is 3 to the 21st power, meaning 3 people who pour into 3 people who pour into 3 people, and that happens 21 times. And when I had my first disciple-making class, I said that was something like, you know, that's like 5.9 million people. I don't remember the exact number. And I had one of my people that were in the class with me said, oh, no, Pastor, you got it wrong. I did the math. It's 10.4 billion people. That's what I'm talking about. We need to share this love. There's 10.4 billion people that want to hear about God's love. Even the people who already know about God's love, they need to hear it again. I need to hear it again. Do you need to hear it again?
Every day.
Paul says, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Didn't we just talk about that? Didn't we just talk about that last week? Not everyone's connected to the Lord. Not everyone plays fair. Not everyone is nice. Not everyone is looking out for you. There are people who we need to be wary of. There are people who we need to be a little careful with. But we also just need that guidance of the Holy Spirit of speaking into lives and doing it wise. Paul says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Well, we could talk about that all day. We could talk about that in the context of what I just said about as you share with somebody being a little wary. We could talk about that in the context of that some people are kind of messed up. But we could also talk about it about our own selves and the own convicting nature we have, or the enemy who keeps trying to convict us. We talked all about that last week, about the big lie. If you remember what the big lie is that we don't need God, that we're independent, that we got it all together. We know that's a lie, but yet we buy into it often, especially in the middle of a crisis or a tragedy, when we try to get it together quick, right? And the big truth is that we do need God. It's so simple, yet it's so profound. Big truth is that God is faithful, and he will protect us from the evil one. He will protect us from everybody who seeks to do us harm. He will protect us from our own thoughts. He will protect us from the slings and arrows from the enemy that try to convict us, or better yet, trying to accuse us. Conviction is good. Conviction comes from the Lord. It says, hey, you know, you gotta get your act together. You're kind of slipping here. You need to look in the mirror a little bit more. You need to check your behavior. I like that saying a friend of mine gave me in another disciple-making class, and it was, check it before you wreck it. I think that's so cool. You need to check it before you wreck it. Paul says, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Chippewa Valley Church of God, I have confidence in you. I have watched. I have seen. I have witnessed. The love you have for one another is astounding. The love you have for family is remarkable. And the love you have for the Lord, I can't even find the words. The trust that you walk in, LaWanda, as you speak with your neighbor, Debbie, as you say, all I want to do is please the Lord. Jan, as you pour into people at your apartment house. Connie, as you show this love for Ronnie. And Roman, as you hold this place up. I mean, all of you. Julia, your voice is like angels coming out. I kid you not. I'm waiting for the CD. I see it on Mike, with your family, with your neighborhood, with everybody here. Dave and Kathy, the love you have for each other, and I see it spreading out to your whole family. I see it in all of you. Mary, a life well loved is what I see in you. David, a life well loved is what I see in you, as you have poured into people at the houses that you've been at and sharing Jesus with them, even when it's not always comfortable. All of you, and all the ones who are not even here right now, I see it clearly. A life well loved. Paul concludes with, May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Wow. What a way to end. May the Lord direct your hearts. It's a heart thing, isn't it? With King David, it was a heart thing. I mean, that guy was a train wreck. He did everything you can possibly do. Paul, who used to be Saul, is a train wreck. I mean, these guys, they did worse than anybody. David sends his best friend out to be killed so he can take his wife. Saul is going after and hunting down Christians. They know what they're talking about. That guy can love even me. This is a personal thing for them. They understand how far you can fall. And they understand how high you can be lifted up. And that God's love carries us unconditionally. I don't even think we can fathom His love. And Christ's perseverance? I can't even imagine it. To be brought into this earth, to be born in a stable, to not have a place to lay your head, to go around and deal with all these people, and as they criticize you and talk against you and plot against you, and to finally just, you know, crucify you. Which, that night, all the way from the Last Supper to the crucifixion, it is a continuation of the entire, the Passion kind of showed us a little bit of it. It was a continuation. And what does He do during that horrible time of trial? He spends 5 chapters of John, read them. John 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And all He's doing is pouring in to His disciples. You know, when trouble comes, pour into somebody else. Watch what happens. When anxiety is on the doorstep, pour into somebody else. Pour into somebody else when you're feeling down. Pour into somebody else when things aren't going right. Pour into somebody else. Share the love of God, the love of Jesus with somebody who needs it even more than you at that moment. That's Christ's perseverance. And that's God's love. So what do we do with all this?
Put it in our hearts.
Put it in our hearts. Put it in our minds. Put it in our very souls. Understand that truth. Understand the gospel. That the gospel is all-encompassing of God's love. And then, love well. Love well. You know, what Paul is telling them is, keep on doing what you've been doing. He's encouraging them. He's telling them, you're doing great. Keep it up. Because there's going to be a persecution on the way. There's going to be troubles and trials. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be doubt. Keep it up. I want to leave you with this. And it's not really an assignment. It's really an ongoing assignment. This is the conviction I have had all week. And it's been heavy. Love well. In every situation, love well. When you are at fault, apologize. Love well. When situations are out of hand, get some help. I need you, God. Love well. When you're praying, love well. Envision that kingdom. Love well. Keep perspective of how things are and what is true and what is not. Love well. Pour into somebody else. Love well. Help somebody else know Jesus. Love well. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we are loved well. We thank you that you love us so much that we can't even fathom it. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you gave us your Son, that we could be with you. You love us so much, you want us to be with you every moment of every day for eternity, that you gave us your Son. We thank you that you love us unconditionally, no matter what we say or do or even think, and you still love us. We thank you that even if we reject you, you never reject us. That you always, always draw us to you. And now, Lord, we ask that we can do as we've been commanded and love well. Love well our neighbor. Love well our child. Love well the person who's coming against us. Love well our enemy. Love well our boss who we don't get along with. Love well our child who's giving us a really hard time today. Love well ourselves, who we're so critical of. Love well. Dear Father God, we thank you that you love us so well, and you help us to love well. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, and all the credit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Scripture. God is light, and God is love. So if you want to know what love is, you got to know what God is. If you want to know what God is, you got to know what love is. If you want to know who Jesus is, you got to know what love is. It's an ongoing discovery process for our entire lives. It is so deep. It is so all-encompassing, we will never understand it to the day we leave here and we are glorified with our Lord into that perfect light, that perfect spirit, and that perfect love. In the meantime, we're always living in the meantime, aren't we? In the meantime, we strive to love well. And the last thing I'm going to say is love yourself well. Cut yourself a little slack along the way. When you make a mistake, just repent, change, ask for a little forgiveness from God and from the individual, and move on, because you are covered in love. You are encompassed in love. You have God's love in you in the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is let it out. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your love that encompasses us, that is embodied in us, that is eternal and forever. We thank you that we can show love to another and thus live life to our fullest. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the love you give and share with us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week, and may God continue to show his love to you as you show your love to one another.